Hello and welcome to Victory Podcast. We talk about everyday life through a faith lens, living in victory.
Well, you ask questions and we're here to respond to them.
So why does God allow suffering if God is good?
So what? Why does God allow suffering? That's deep. Mm-hmm. That's deep. I feel like I've heard this question so much.
Yes.
Yeah. This is hard. It feels like it's a question that it's like you kind of have to answer or I guess respond to in a very delicate way, because anything you say may make God look bad or evil. Mm-hmm. And that's not the goal, or that's not real. That's not true.
That's not the case. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, it's a question that's designed to make you trip, right? Because suffering is a thing, and mm-hmm. it's like, okay, why is God allowing it? God is, all right, let's take 30 steps back. God is God.
Yes.
Almighty God, mm-hmm. King of Kings.
Yep.
Okay. He is governing this whole entire universe, mm-hmm. right? So bad happens in his territory. Is it him allowing the suffering, right? Is it him allowing this to happen? Mm-hmm. And to answer that, we have to understand Genesis. And again, I'm going to nerd all about Genesis again. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Genesis 3:14. And before we go there, and Genesis 3:16-19, mm-hmm. before we go there, I want to talk about covenant. So I've heard the answers to this question, and people talk about it and all of that. But recently, there's this new kind of revelation, a new angle to this that I understood. And so Genesis 3:14, it reads, "So then God said to the serpent," so this is after they ate, after they broke covenant. Very important keyword, broke covenant. And it says, "Because you have done this, you are cursed," right? So this is the onus of it. This is the taking responsibility for your actions. "Because you did this, you are cursed," right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm giving you suffering. It's like you brought yourself suffering, mm-hmm. right? It's almost like this self-hurt in a way. Mm. Let's look at other covenants, marriage. Because one person broke covenant, that person brought a split into the relationship, brought mm-hmm. this ripping. And I just like picture this like a leather piece that just like is being torn apart. Yeah. And it is one party that allowed this ripping. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I feel like humans don't take good responsibility of their actions in that sense. And so from the very start, God puts the responsibility on us. Mm-hmm. So Genesis 3:16-19, it talks to the woman and to the man. "Then he said to the woman," 16, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." Mm-hmm. "And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you." Mm-hmm. So it's like, because of you now, these things are cursed. It's the breaking of covenant invites a curse, mm-hmm. creates a curse. So anytime that there is any sort of covenant, being contractual or not, being a covenant in an unconditional covenant or conditional covenant, any sort of contract, when that is broken, mm-hmm. let's look at a financial contract, a lease. When that is broken, it welcomes
consequences.
So many consequences. Yeah. When you sign a contract, 90% of the time, you are in a complete understanding with the other person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't touch the agreement because you both are on the same page.
Right.
The agreement is just a backup mm-hmm. because you both already have an agreement. Mm-hmm. The moment you break something up in this contract and you overstep what the covenant spoke about, then distrust happens.
Yeah.
Then you reference the contract. Mm-hmm. I know, because I've lived it personally. Mm-hmm. Then all of this begins to happen. There's fear. There's insecurity. There is lawsuits. There's mm-hmm. bringing reinforcement. And so like all of this begins to happen because somebody broke covenant, mm-hmm. right? And so taking now the question, going back to the question, why does God allow suffering if God is good? God is good. Mm-hmm. And he gave us a free will.
Yeah.
And he gave us simple commands and a place that is ours and a place that was beautiful and had everything we ever needed. Mm-hmm. And we chose to break the covenant and the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine the pain in God that we caused in the one who created us? I know as a parent, the pain that comes when you trust your son. And it's like, that hurts. Mm-hmm. That creates now this place of like distance mm-hmm. because it's like, I trusted you. Mm-hmm. And now we have to work to get that back. Now you're a little further away. Now the suffering is, the ground is cursed and you're living in that mess you made. Mm-hmm. And it's this working of coming back to relationship, back to closeness, back mm-hmm. to wholeness, back to being in good standing. And so that's my response to that.
That's so good.
Yeah,
it's so crazy because that's exactly how it is. It's literally, he is so good that he just lets us be.
Yeah.
And it shows that he is such a loving God too, mm-hmm. that through that, even though that there is an agreement, we have responsibility, mm-hmm. breaking that responsibility really brings in so much distrust.
It does.
It does. And it even creates tension.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, like now I'm like, I feel like it even breaks like familiarity mm-hmm. where when you lose trust with someone, it almost feels like, are you the person that I thought you were?
Yeah.
Like, can I trust you again? And it's rebuilding that. It's like rebuilding a broken bridge, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hard. It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like God, it's not that God allows suffering. Mm-hmm. I think that's the wrong question. It's God allows you to be your own person with mm-hmm. your own big boy decisions, with your own allowing you to break covenant if you want to, mm-hmm. because covenant because relationship is a choice.
Yeah.
And so he is a good God and he allows you to make a decision for yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
So the suffering isn't him allowing the suffering. It's him allowing you to be away from him if you choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because then it wouldn't be a relationship.
Nope. Yeah. Then that'd just be full control.
That's full dictator.
That is not a good God.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So
even more, this proves that he is good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, we have two questions actually that are pretty similar. Mm-hmm. And so I'll read these back to back.
Right.
So the first one asks, what does trusting God look like when it seems like anxiety won't go away? And the other one reads, what does the Bible actually say about fear and the future?
So I'll answer the first one. Mm-hmm. The first one, I kind of like something that I started really liking to do is to question the words that I already know.
Okay.
So anxiety, what does anxiety mean? Mm. And what anxiety does the Bible reference?
Yeah,
what is that directly translated from? Yeah. And so in the Greek, anxiety basically means a heart that is divided.
Yeah.
It's literally pulled apart. That's literally what it means. Mm-hmm. A heart that is either divided or it's literally means pulled apart.
Interesting.
And it's so interesting because it's like, this is where, like, for example, like, cast all your anxieties for your God cares for you, mm-hmm. you know? And so A heart that is pulled apart. Anxiety is a really big war, a constant war in your mind. It's not that something that happens like outwards, inwards. It's like all internal. It's all in your mind. It's all like, okay, like something that you're afraid of that hasn't even happened. So it's like, okay, something towards the future or like I did something and it's like something, maybe a consequence or consequences coming for you, or I don't know, some anxiety that is pulling you apart. It's a constant war and it actually breaks your brain. And so one thing is, how do you, what does it look like? What does trusting God look like when you're being literally pulled apart in your brain? Well, it's understanding that God is all sufficient. God is an all sufficient God, meaning he meets all your needs. He meets every area of your life. And so it's kind of hard because we all, we're naturally very worrisome. We like to worry about everything, like every little detail. Like what if some, what like, even like, what is this person going to think of me if I like do this, if I say that, or if I like, you know, did a little gesture and like, oh, they're going to look at me funny. Or they're going to think I'm weird. Or if I crack this joke, people think I'm weird. You know, it's like the small little things can literally pull us apart. And so understanding that, well, not just like your mental, physical, and like spiritual needs. God is all sufficient in all areas. And so understanding and trusting that he is sufficient, trusting that he actually does meet your needs. Because it's actually hard to really trust him if you don't even understand that he actually meets everything. Because it's like, if I have physical pain, well, we serve a God that heals. If I am in financial like situations, well, he is our provider, right? If I am struggling through like all these like doubts and all these things, well, he can meet those needs, you know? So every single area, he's all sufficient. And one other thing is that, how do you trust? What is trust? What does it mean to trust someone? Well, you can't trust a random stranger off the street. You can't just trust them like with your life.
You can't.
You have to know them. If you don't know God, how are you going to trust God? You know? So spending time consistently with him and knowing what he says about your anxieties, or says about like if you're having anxiety about the future, like what does he say about the future? Well, get into that. But what does he say about all these different things? You know, so understanding and staying grounded in what he has said.
That's right.
Right?
Wow. It's interesting where, okay, I, as I was listening to you, I was listening to the examples you were saying about insecurity, about fear, and a lot of them had ifs. Personally, I don't like that word.
Nope, not a fun word.
I don't like that word. I'm so with my family, the amount of planning that goes into making sure everyone's at baseball practice, they're at their piano, that we're at work, baby's taken care of, everyone's taken care of. It requires so much planning. And when the word if comes into play, and if that word is said, it creates a branch that now requires planning. All right, so this is just practical life. Let's say the plan is that all five of us are gonna go somewhere on Saturday at 2 p.m and our son has baseball. Well, okay, we can't go. That plan has to be at five, but the weather says it's going to rain. So if the game is canceled, then we have to make a whole different plan. Now it's like, okay, but what if it isn't canceled? We can't make the plan there, and everything shifts around. And so it's like, that's just one example. Sometimes there's ifs on the ifs. And there's like, okay, we can't, you can't plan. You can't plan on ifs. It's really hard to plan on ifs. And I get that there are things like, I'm going to have a party outside and the weather says it's going to rain. Well,
so if it rains,
if it doesn't rain, two plans. But sometimes it's like our brains create these scenarios of fear of, like you said, What if this person, what if they think this of me? Mm-hmm. What if, and so that's where we're getting into deeper ifs. Mm-hmm. That if is so dangerous.
Very.
Ifs are very dangerous. You can't live on uncertainty. Mm-mm. It is a shaky rope.
Yes.
You live on the rock, the firm foundation, mm-hmm. Jesus. He is certain. So when he would heal someone, when he would go to them, Jesus, people would come and they'd be healed. It wasn't a question. I'm like trying to think of a time where Jesus, someone came to him and he didn't heal them. Mm. That wasn't the case. Yeah. It was a certainty. So then it's like, okay, you know, when we actually live in this certainty, can we look like Jesus in every area? Financially, there's no story where it's like, well, we don't have enough. Mm. And who, you know who brought that? A disciple. He said, mm-hmm. we don't have enough to feed everybody. But then the certainty of the rock of Jesus was mm-hmm. like, yes, we do. And it didn't look like what they thought.
No.
But it was not an if. Mm-hmm. He was the certainty. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the certainty within the fear, within the anxiety, within every if, within the financial ifs, mm-hmm. within your identity ifs. Ifs,
yeah.
Jesus wasn't like, well, what if they don't like me when I preach? You know, that wasn't a question. Come on, because he knew who he was and he knew his calling.
Yeah.
So there was no, well, what if we go to Jerusalem? That. It was like, we're going to Jerusalem and I know what's going to happen. Mm. There's a certainty, right?
Come on.
And when we stand on Jesus, we can actually be certain of what God has called us to do and where he's called us to be.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust the certainty.
Trust the rock, man.
Yeah.
The rock, Jesus
Christ. I love it. Come on. That's so so good. Yeah. And we need that. We need to consistently have that mindset of instead of like, what if, maybe even if.
Yeah.
Even if this happens, God is still good.
Right?
Even if this happens, well, God is still good, you know? And so instead of switching what if, let's do even if.
Even if.
Even if it happens.
And then the answer is the same.
Same. Same today, yesterday, tomorrow.
That's good.
In 2 minutes.
Amen.
Literally.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
All right. Well, you know what time it is?
Well,
it's like 3:40. No,
okay. Okay. Nice. It is verse check time.
Verse check.
Well, we're going to choose a verse check in this bowl of scenarios or daily life situations.
And the goal of verse check is to see how well we will stand on the word when a situation comes to pass. Mm-hmm. A situation comes and we don't expect it. It comes out of nowhere at a random time. What are we going to stand on? What verse? Let's see.
Well, this comes from our faith book. We have different types of books. This is our lifeline kit, our foundational book. And this comes from faith. Your pastor just asked you to lead a new ministry. And it's the exact thing you told God last week you were not equipped to do. Oof.
Jesus.
Okay.
All right. Literally the man, the myth, the legend. He's not a myth. He's very real. our man, Moses.
Our man, the not the myth, the legend.
the man, not the myth, the legend, Moses. So he, all right. So what verse would I stand on to walk this situation out? Mm-hmm. I would walk on Exodus, Moses, and he came to the Lord, Jesus, and he told him, I am not equipped for this. Mm-hmm. So actually verse 10, so Exodus 3:10, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh, for you must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel? And then he goes to protest again. He's like, I'm with you. Don't worry about it. I'm with you. Moses protested again. If I go and tell them, what will they think of me? What should I tell them? What is the name of the God? tell him, I am, I am. And he protests several times. And I don't want to read the whole thing or else we'll be here for another 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But he protests. I can't even speak well, right? Oof. And God is like, I am, right? He is everything Moses is not. And now it's time for a personal story.
Mm. Okay.
There has never been a time where I have felt fully equipped for a new season. Mm-hmm. It always feels like I need more training for it. Right. Or like, if only I had a little bit more training. Or like, this is too big for me to fully take on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the Lord will lead you into things that are like, that grow you, mm-hmm. right? And yes, 50% of what that requires, I got. Like, I think I have it. I know. But the other half is like, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing, God. And even after the yes, because I've gotten used to saying yes to the Lord and being like, okay, God, sure. And that's my personality. It's just like, yes first, figure out later. So yes first. And within the first couple of weeks, I always ask God, what did I get myself into? Like, seriously, like, I don't feel equipped for this. Mm-hmm. And I remember Moses, and I remember even the disciples, they weren't equipped for it. They said yes, and then the equipping came later. And it's like, the yes unlocks the equip. Mm-hmm. The yes unlocks the grace. Mm-hmm. The yes unlocks the blessing. Without that, it's like you're stuck. So personally, it's like, okay, I know I'm not equipped and I don't feel it. And even if you don't feel it, when you say yes, the story later says Moses would then take the staff and throw it, and it turned into these miracles that never showed up for Moses ever before. Mm-hmm. Those were the first times, and he just would listen and he just did the thing, and it did the thing. And I can't even, you know, picture what he did in that moment where he saw God work through him. Mm-hmm. It was like, sometimes personally, I'm like, I'm watching the movie of myself saying yes to the Lord and seeing him work through me. And it's like, I can't believe this is happening right now. Like I said yes and God is moving through me. Like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. It's like, I'm watching it in third person. Like, yeah. Wow, God. And so every person in the Bible, it's like, they're not equipped. They weren't the people. David wasn't equipped to be a king,
no.
But God said, do it. And he's like, okay. And yeah. And look at what happened next.
Yeah, the favor from obedience.
Yeah.
And just like, even the humility, because it takes humility to just do something without even knowing what you're doing.
It does. Yeah. So let us know in the comments what you would have your verse check verse be. Today's winner of the giveaway from a question submitted to us is blank, because all the questions didn't have a name. So we would love to send you one of these books on faith, prayer, anxiety. We talked a lot about anxiety. Like, this is a huge key to anxiety, stress, and depression. 20-step spiritual action plan. We would love to send one to you. You can find the link to buy them in the description or submit a question. And if we use it, you can get one for free.
Yeah.
All right.
victorypodcast.ca/ask.
Yeah. Send your questions. Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, thank you for watching. And don't forget to keep walking in victory.
Hi, this is Sangeeta from Langley, British Columbia. This podcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you're helping send free resources like this podcast to people around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.